Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. It's 7:33. Good morning and welcome. Austin Hill in the Morning is what we call the program. I am Austin Hill. Thank you for listening here on the Faith Radio Network. Find our programming all the time, our content, information about our guests, and what we do here at MyFaithRadio.com. That's our mobile-friendly website, MyFaithRadio.com. It configures just right on an iPhone or an Android, either one. It's MyFaithRadio.com. Speaking of our content and the guests you hear in our program, no strangers to our program and to MyFaithRadio.com, my next guest, John and Kendra Smiley. They're popular speakers and authors, ministering to parents and grandparents really throughout the world. Let's talk with John and Kendra Smiley about the perils of the picky eater. Oh my goodness. Kendra, let me start with you. Welcome both to the program. Tell us about the peril of the picky eater, if you would.
Well, you know, there's some problem. There's a lot of kids out there who are evidently not wanting to eat their broccoli and cauliflower. And so, what's the old saying? Find a need and fill it.
Yeah.
There are now picky eater coaches. Yeah, you can hire someone to help your children not be such picky eaters.
Okay. Now, John, your thoughts on this for what do you say to the person who says, you know, I'd like to think I could be the parent and not have to hire an outside consultant on this one. How do you address that?
Well, I think it's quite surprising that there is this need of having a coach work with your kids on helping your kids eat. I know that when Kendra and I were parents and parenting our three boys, we certainly didn't need somebody on the outside to come in and help us teach our kids how to eat food. But this thing is getting out of hand, per se, in the sense that the parents are stumped and they don't know how to deal with their kids eating. And so, like Kendra said, there are outside sources that say, hey, we can take care of that and come in and help the parents show their kids how to eat.
You know, as you're describing this, I can imagine our parents or even grandparents kind of rolling their eyes at this news say and facetiously saying, my gosh, how did I ever get along without a picky eater coach or whatever the case may be? And I appreciate the entrepreneurial spirits that apparently some people have gone about with this. Kendra, you say find a need and meet it. That's crucial to being entrepreneurial. By the same token, you two are involved in the business, if you will, of coaching parents to be the parent. Either one of you, what does it mean to step up and be the parent in the face of picky eater kids?
Well, you have to decide what is it that we're going to be serving and what is it that the kids are going to be eating. I remember we were speaking at a conference and we opened it up to questions, and this sweet, sweet mama, young mama, raised her hand, and it wasn't about picky eating, but just eating in general. She said, do I have to give my child a snack right before dinner? And I thought the terminology was so interesting, and I asked her, do you want to give your child a snack?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I really don't. I said, you don't have to. You know, you're the mom. And it was so interesting, too, because often when the event was over, she came up and she hugged me and she said, oh, thank you so much. So basically what I felt I had done at that moment was simply empower her, given her permission to be the parent.
Right. And I think probably one of the biggest things that young parents are dealing with today is they're giving their kids just an unbelievable amount of choices. And the problem that I think they're having is they think that their kids are capable of making all of these choices, whether it comes to food. We find out when we do seminars and stuff, they're young kids, what to wear. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing how much responsibility in the sense of decision-making parents are giving young kids who, in our opinion, that's probably not a thing that we as parents should be doing. And when it comes to food, that's another area. The child says, oh, I don't like that, or I don't want to eat that, or whatever it might be, making that decision. And the parents seem to be stumped.
Yeah.
And so we need some practical things to do to help parents here.
Indeed. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. They're on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network at 7:38 on Austin Hill in the Morning. John, as you're describing this, and as I listen to both of you, it strikes me that parents today probably face some challenges with constructing a proper diet and inculcating healthy eating habits with their kids, probably challenges that maybe previous generations of parents did not face. It seems to me that over the course of time, at least here in the U.S. and perhaps throughout the free world, kids are bombarded more and more and more with marketing campaigns that say, try this, eat that, this tastes good, etc. How do you begin to cut through the clutter? You can talk about empowering parents, but how do you empower them to be the parent and make decisions for the child appropriately, but also empower parents to cut through the clutter of marketing and advertising campaigns?
Right, and I think that's a great point, and I think that as kids get a little bit older, and it doesn't take them very long to buy into the advertisement, just like you said, Austin, in the idea of sitting in front of a TV or whatever it might be and learning about what the advertisers want those kids to learn about. But I think it begins earlier in that for parents, and that's right from the get-go when a baby starts eating solid food. And then it's the mom. They haven't bought into the advertisement, obviously, yet. And the mom and dad, as they feed that child different sources, different foods, whether it be squashed peas or whatever, applesauce, whatever it is, to give that child a variety of foods and the parent making the choice of what that child eats. I think that's the beginning process. And then when we do move up into the point where the child does see advertisements and the advertisements say, eat this or don't eat that, that the parent obviously shouldn't buy in that, nor allow the child to make a decision based on advertisement. The parent should be the one that's saying, no, we're going to try this, you're going to eat this, and not buy into all of this information that is bombarding our kids.
Point well taken. Now, John and Kendra Smiley, of course, they are blog contributors at MyFaithRadio.com. If you get over to our mobile-friendly website, they have a piece published there entitled The Perils of the Picky Eater. Let's talk for just a moment about the parent who says, well, okay, I hear what you're saying, John and Kendra. I need to correct course. We've gotten in the habit of perhaps consuming some things that maybe aren't so healthy in our household. We want to make a transition. How do we do this effectively and gradually sort of mixing in healthier foods with what we've got going currently? What do you suggest with that?
Well, first of all, I just want to encourage these parents because they are going to save a lot of money by paying attention to just what you're asking about. Because really, those coaches, they cost a lot. And so here's a way to save money and get your kids to eat some of the things that you know are going to be a little healthier. One suggestion is if you've been eating a cereal, the kids have been eating a cereal that's just loaded with sugar, and mom says, not so good for them. Find one that's sort of similar but has less sugar. You know, so you're kind of weaning them off the one they're used to, but you're not making a drastic change. That's something that can help. Another thing is to kind of mix something new with something familiar. I know there are kids, I only will eat white rice. Oh, there's no, I can't possibly eat brown rice. It looks dirty. No, I'm not going to eat that. Well, what do? You mix the two together. You know, maybe a 3-to-1 ratio to start out, then maybe 50-50. And before long, they'll realize that, it doesn't taste dirty, even if it looks a little different. Yeah. Those sorts of things. And then a real standby that's been around forever is have the kids help you prepare the meal. If you help fix something, the chances are you're going to give it a try. Now, I hear moms going, I'd love to do that, Kendra, but I just don't have enough time. That's not going to be efficient. No, we're not looking for efficiency here. We're looking at a way to draw the kids in to eat healthier foods.
Right, and I think one other thing is that happens, especially when there are multiple kids in the household, the older child says, well, I don't like that. And so then the next thing we know, the younger child is saying they don't like that, and they haven't even tasted it, and parents are giving in to that. And I think it's one of those things that I think is probably generations ago, and parents have been doing for quite some time, and that is for kids to taste it, to take a bite of it, to at least take one or two or three bites of it. And that's very important as well, that we just, you know, when the child says, no, I don't want that, and the parents say, oh, okay, that's fine, and the next thing you know, we have a child and all they're eating is donuts and chicken nuggets. It gets down to the ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, and you know, when you speak about the influences of media and marketing and advertising and entertainment, That certainly shifted. When I was a young child, I was bombarded with McDonaldland commercials because that was a happy place and all those kinds of things. And it turned out that some of the food that was being served there in large doses wasn't so healthy. Today, food and even being a chef and cooking and consuming food becomes the subject of reality TV shows and all kinds of other media content. Let's talk about some of those influences and how parents can model healthy food preparation and eating behaviors when we come back in just a moment. John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts, talking about the peril of picky eaters. This is Austin Hill in the Morning on the Faith Radio Network. The great philosopher of our time, Weird Al Yankovic, here on Faith Radio Network. This is Austin Hill in the Morning. It's 7:46, and we're talking about the peril of picky eater children. Other parts of the world, people indeed are suffering with a lack of food. In the United States of America and throughout much of the Western world, we have, in some cases, available to us too much of the wrong kinds of foods. John and Kendra Smiley with us on the guest line. They've got a blog post at our website at myfaithradio.com. I want to pick up kind of where we left off. We were speaking earlier about some of the influences of media and commercial marketing and advertising campaigns. Today, parents are facing challenges that my mom and dad certainly didn't face, in as much as we have things like, for example, the program Man vs. Food, a reality TV show prominently featured on the Travel Channel, a cable and subscription TV channel, where it's fashionable and fun for people to just gorge themselves with as much stuff as they possibly can and see who doesn't vomit. I mean, it's almost that wacky. We've got a lot of unhealthy attitudes and behaviors and relationships with food being portrayed in the media. How does a parent model healthy behavior with food amidst those kinds of cultural influences?
Well, one of the things I think we have to look at, modeling. Austin, do you have any kids?
I do.
Do you? Yeah, that whole modeling thing, doesn't it get exhausting? You know, they're always watching us. Absolutely. And we are a role model. The key as parents is to the best of our ability and whenever possible, be a positive role model. Mm-hmm. So what that holds true with eating, too, and the things that are going into our mouths. What's in your refrigerator, Mom and Dad? What's in your pantry? Is it stocked with chips and cookies and things like that, which those aren't bad, but in moderation? And does your refrigerator have fresh fruits and vegetables or soda pop? You know, what's in there? We have to take a look at what's available to our kids and, again, what we are consuming and they're watching us consume.
Right, and I think the other thing that we deal with as parents in that with our kids watching TV, and that is that mom and dad, we are teaching our kids. And so a lot of times conversations comes up with things on TV, and we as the parent are enlightening our kids and letting them know probably that's not a good idea, just like the show that you were talking about. A kid looks at that, and a mom and dad, you know, we might be discussing that and saying, boy, you know, that may be fun to watch, but it's unhealthy. And why it's unhealthy, and talk to your kids about eating, and why is it? Why? Especially when kids get older, isn't it good to eat just donuts and chicken McNuggets all the time? What does that do? Teaching our kids about food is very important as well. I know that we had an adult who had trouble with his weight, mm-hmm. and he didn't realize the difference in caloric intake between an apple and a donut. And he was just absolutely amazed when he saw the calories of an apple and that of a donut.
And I need to point out, this friend of ours has his PhD, right? So it's not just a lack of knowledge. It is a lack of knowledge. It's not just like, well, I'm not smart enough to figure this out. No, it's taking the time. That, as John's referring to those commercials and things like that, those are, and the TV shows which are maybe portraying things that aren't healthy, those are what we call teachable moments. Looking for those teachable moments, Mom and Dad, to point out why it's not a good idea to gorge yourself.
Yeah. Boy, and as you describe that, Kendra, I'm flashbacking, if you will, on the time when I first learned of this program, Man Versus Food. My teenage son was telling me about this as we were riding together in the car, and he was laughing, saying, "Oh, this is so funny. Dad, you got to see this." I said, "This sounds hideous. And it sounds disgusting." And he said, "Well, I would never do it, but it's funny to watch." Well, I don't even think it's particularly funny to watch. But that said, these examples of bad behavior, you're saying, create an opportunity for parents to step up and once again, as you're so fond of reminding us, be the parent and say, "Here's the correct course." Do I hear you correctly in that?
Oh, yes. Anytime there's a teachable moment, it's great because you're not really having to lecture. You're saying, "Wow, look at what's going on here. Do you think that man's comfortable? You think this is good for his body?" And then, of course, you knowing the answers to those as you ask those questions.
Yeah. It's John and Kendra Smiley with us. Just a final few moments here on our program this morning. Their latest blog entry, their latest contribution at myfaithradio.com entitled "The Peril of the Picky Eater." At the end of the day, I take it, to go back to where we started, the phenomena of parenting, nutrition coaches and coaches that are actually being hired for maybe as much as $400 a month to coach parents on how to deal with picky eaters. Sounds like your message is, hey, you probably don't need an outside consultant with this. Parents can be the parents even when it comes to food and nutrition.
That's right. Save some money. Go spend it on something fun, you know. Go for a trip somewhere and go camping. Take that money and pay for the campsite. Absolutely.
Right. And I think that parents get stymied with early kids when the child just says, "No, I'm not going to eat this." And then they don't know what to do next. And so that's when, come on, parent, be a little bit creative here. And as Kendra and I say time and time again, Austin, just like you said, step up and be the parent. For goodness sake, be creative and get that child to taste that food.
One of the things we did, which kind of turned out to be sort of fun as they grew up too, was each of our sons got to choose one food they never had to eat. Never, never, never. Didn't matter who served it. That was their one food they didn't have to eat. And one of our sons, it was beets. I don't know why he had this aversion to beets. Mm-hmm. But as a grown man, at one point I bought, he was a grown man, and I bought some beet chips, thinking I could fool him, and I put them in a basket, and they're kind of cute, you know, they're kind of reddish colored,
right.
And I served them, and he took one bite and went, "Beets, I don't eat beets."
Mom's best laid plans didn't work out so well that time, but of course I have to follow up with this question. Did that create a teachable moment, Kendra?
Well, he was already in his late 20s. I think I said, "Oh, I can't fool you."
John and Kendra Smiley, you can find them at myfaithradio.com. They are parenting coaches. I want to think of you two as parenting coaches to the world. We appreciate what you do. You're out speaking all over the country and literally in all parts of the world. Thanks for what you do. I am going to be very careful with my choices, knowing that my teenage son is still watching me every step of the way. And we'll look forward to talking to you again soon. Have a great day.
Thanks,
Thank
Austin.
You.
Thanks. Great to be with you. 7:54. This is Austin Hill in the Morning on the Faith Radio Network. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.